broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2020. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. All right. Without further ado, LibertyRoundtable.com, our website, donation link there. Help us grow. Click on it. Donate liberally, would you please? We are syndicated by LovingLiberty.net, the incredible radio network. Myself, Brian Hyde, Kate Daly, C.L. Bryant, many other incredible talk show hosts, Beth Ann Schoenberg, Jesse Lee Peterson, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins. I'm just a bunch of great around-the-clock radio at your fingertips. You can check out our phone app as well for Android and iOS. It's all available at lovingliberty.net. Live and on-demand radio, archives, and more. Lovingliberty.net. Why? Because we're loving liberty every day, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I got 2 days to recap because yesterday we were so busy with a two-hour special interview. So first, let's rock with a Tuesday's recap. We talked about Betsy DeVos doing a phenomenal job at the Education Department. Now, I agree we should abolish the Education Department. But short of that, she is going to personally fund the scholarship that Donald Trump at the State of the Union address talked about. It was a Philadelphia student, and Donald said, hey, she's going to get a scholarship. And I said, that's wonderful. Where's the money coming from? Well, Betsy's funding it. That's who. Betsy gives her salary every year to needy people. She doesn't keep her salary because she's wealthy. She has money. Well, Donald does the same thing. See, what an example and what a solution. Who's talking about that, huh? Anybody? Charlie Kirk, an author, basically says, Virginia counties are now considering joining West Virginia. That's a critical story, folks. It just shows how disgruntled with the gun control measures pushed through by the Democrats. Conservatives are saying, we don't want that. Even the average Democrat that's fairly center is going, these guys are radicals. This is crazy. We're not in. So there you have that. We also talked about a column from Mr. Nolte. Americans are satisfied with their personal life. It's at an all-time high. And we talked about a story a couple of days before that that talked about 90-plus percent. And we talked about some of the reasons why. Because we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's one of the reasons. Because you can freely travel and do all kind of things. That's another reason. Because there's jobs. That's another reason. There's a lot of reasons that people are happy in America. Now, if we want true happiness, though, then we need to turn to God and keep His commandments and repent and forgive and trust in God. And when we do, if we obey His commandments, you'll have a real satisfaction with life, you know? But they find out that when you're married, your life expectancy and happiness increases. Anyway, that's a theme we want to continue to talk about throughout the year. When we find stories, we'll relate it to this happiness factor. We'll watch for things that are making people happy and highlight those as well. Because this is Liberty Roundtable, which means, you know what, our goal is to bring solutions to the table. Our goal is to focus on the good news stories, right? All right, we talked about the British government plans to slash tariffs on U.S. goods. That's good news piece. I don't hear anybody talking about that, but that's phenomenal news, isn't it? Now, I believe tariffs are the proper way to pay for the proper role of constitutional limited government. So I believe in tariffs, but you know what? We can lower them for everybody. We don't need a lot of money for the proper role of limited government. We need tons of money now because government's just grown way, way, way over the top, out of control. So let's reduce the size and scope and expenditure of government. Then let's use proper tariffs to fund legitimate government, to fuel the greatest economic engine the world has ever known called free enterprise, right? We also talked about the U.S. economy created 225,000 jobs in January. You know, that's where all the seasonal work after Christmas goes away and everything else. So this is a huge number because it's with all the temporary work people, you know, out of work after Christmas stuff. But still, 225,000 jobs in January, that is incredible. Israeli scientists are doing a phenomenal work, too. This is kind of interesting. They're growing what they call biblical era, I would call them heirloom seeds, 2,000 years old and more have been germinated. That's really interesting. I pray they succeed. You know, that'd be interesting stuff. They're talking about doing this with dates. You know, like the food, a date, right? Phenomenal. Dates are delicious. By the way, I had a drink with dates in it just the other day. All right, hour two on Tuesday. We had our guest on, Mr. Alan Phillips, nationally recognized presenter on vaccines and vaccine rights, etc. His website's vaccinerights.com. And he does a phenomenal job. And we talked with him about Tim Tebow doing a great job. And Tim Tebow kicks off the sixth annual event called Night to Shine, which is an event centers on God's love. And Tim Tebow celebrates people with special needs at the 2020 Night to Shine event. Man, Night to Shine, the event, 2020, celebrated by 721 churches across all of the 50 United States and in 34 countries. I mean, it's getting huge. Where's the mainstream press? Sad to say, when it's about God, they're MIA, huh? Not us, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. We cover it, baby. We also went down to Mississippi, sadly, while we're promoting Night to Shine and promoting, you know, good people doing great things. Mississippi bureaucrats down there, I guess they got arrested in a mass embezzlement scheme. And the bottom line is, you don't have the right to use the taxpayers' money as your own. You don't have the right to lie to the taxpayers, what they're saying. Amen to that. Yale University, using children's health records, and they're linking vaccines to mental disorders. That's according to Yale News. Weird news service, huh? Yeah. But the college is saying, look, you know what? The biggest problem vaccine, believe it or not, is the flu vaccine. It's being linked now to mental disorders. We warned you about vaccines for a long time, folks, but everybody just snickers and laughs and says we're into conspiracy theories. Now Yale News kind of backs up our point, huh? Chinese Christians sharing love of Jesus. When the coronavirus is hot and happening, they say we are facing a test of our faith. So Christians in China are standing up saying, hey, let's be faithful. Let's trust God and see if we can't get through this thing. Good for them. By the way, Greta Thunberg got a TV series. I just don't understand why they're promoting this Greta Thunberg girl. She doesn't have any credibility at all. I just don't get it. But again, the takeaway, I guess, is when you have big money, understand that big money can allow you to do anything. Pretty soon, Greta will be like the next Rush Limbaugh, rock star. You have plenty of money, plenty of media control. You can just force it down everybody's throats. After two or three or five or 8 years, she'll become a, quote, conservative icon globally with her, quote, TV show, right? And that's what they do, folks. You know, people don't really get to decide what they want to listen to. If you're in a given radio market, for instance, you've got three hosts. You know, you want to listen to Sean Hannity, listen to Glenn Beck or Russ Limbaugh. If you get a real choice, then you might get Michael Savage in your four choices, right? That's how they do it, folks. So you've got to learn to seek out the vertical market media that makes a difference for you. Hopefully that'll be us and our co-hosts around the clock on lovingliberty.net, right? All right, I digress. That's a recap of Tuesday's show. On Wednesday, yesterday, we had a two-hour special broadcast. We had a special guest, author, lawyer, journalist, John Oliver was with us. And we talked about his incredible book called The Swamp Fox, How Francis Marion Saved the American Revolution. Now, johnollernyc.com is his website. That's johnollernyc.com, John Oller. And basically, we covered his an admiring biography of Francis Marion, who lived from 1732 to 1795. He was a military hero, folks, of the American Revolution. I'm telling you right now, his involvement was incredible. Not only a new Francis Marion, say reviewers, but a new American Revolution emerges from these riveting pages. Not to mention he has sweet, solid, convincing research. This is a book to read, baby. And I bring all this up because in the second hour, it was the interview continued. Great book. And what you begin to understand is there was kind of a civil war going on during the Revolutionary War in the South. And Francis Marion was a patriot's patriot, baby. He got it done. Made very few mistakes. an incredible military tactician, if you will. He was very small, maybe 5'2", 5'4", at the most, weighed about 110, 120 pounds. The guy was teeny, and the guy was 48 to 50 years old when he was in the Revolutionary War. So he was older than most. And he didn't do a ton of the hand-to-hand fighting himself, but he was an incredible strategist, an incredible tactician, and he literally single-handedly supported George Washington in ways that are just incredible if you read about it. There's a lot of fiction surrounding Francis Marion, nicknamed the Swamp Fox, from Disney and other places. And this book from John Oliver literally breaks it down and separates fact from fiction with some modern records that were available the whole time, but very hard to get a hold of, but they've been digitized. And so a lot more information forthcoming on Francis Marion. I mean, but the guy was incredible. He had a mind of steel. He was light like a horse jockey. All of his men were on horseback. They would strike at key times and run. Strike and run, a kind of warfare that the, quote, British didn't know how to deal with. And this guy literally had trust and faith and honor. He wouldn't plunder. He treated slaves kindly. He was a slave owner because he was a man of his time. But he was kind to the slaves and treated the blacks and the whites and everybody the same. He didn't like retaliation. He wasn't a bloodthirsty man at all. He was a righteous, good, honorable man. I'm telling you, great book. If you want two books about history, Prelude to Glory is a 9-volume set that really breaks it down like no other. And then this book about Francis Marion, The Swamp Fox. Incredible. You read those two and you get the history of the Revolutionary War like no other. Brian, coming up next.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
All right, as I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a definitive reality check on the Civil War, I'm sorry, on the Revolutionary, I keep saying civil. The reason why is because I'm so shocked that the South was in the middle of a civil war during the Revolutionary War. It's kind of fascinating. I didn't realize that. Anyway, in the Revolutionary War definitive, you got to read Prelude to Glory, a 9-volume set, put in a fictional setting, but it's got factual notes about what's reality and what's not. It's just incredible, 9-volume series. And then you read The Swamp Fox, how Francis Marion saved the American Revolution. I'm telling you, between those 9 volumes and then the separate books, so 10 big books, you get an understanding of the American Revolution like no other. I mean, it is incredible. Anyway, wonderful interview, great stuff. We're so grateful for leaders and men like that who love liberty, from Francis Marion to those who write about him to Brian Rust. Speaking of men of liberty, welcome back, brother.
Thank you much. Glad to be with you guys.
All right, we got a lot to cover, and I know you got to go early today, so let's start with honest money. What's gold doing right now?
Gold at $1,575.70.
$1,575.70?
Yes.
Okay.
And silver at 17.77.
1777.
Yep.
And where's that looking compared to where we were? Do you have a handy on that?
Well, last week we're up about $10 in gold. Silver's down about 8 cents. Unchanged a little bit. A little bit ups and downs there, you know. But, they base a lot of this on news. If it's going,
what's happening
is, and that, which is, you know, not all true.
All right, so gold, yeah. 1575.70. Silver, 1777. Whoa, it's almost 1776. I hope it drops a penny for a little bit just for fun, Brian.
There you go.
All right.
That's right.
I got a lot to cover here. I got three unique stories, all that relate to money and Brian. How's that, sir?
Let's do it.
First one says this. Senators will vet Judy Shelton. A prominent Federal Reserve critic for one of the central bank's top jobs. She's a nominee of President Trump, sir. Why? Because she is, they say, rhetorically questioned if we ought to tie money back to gold. So they're freaking out, don't know what to do with her, sir.
Yeah, she's trying to change the norm, which it shouldn't be changed. It should be already be the norm.
Yeah, she says maybe we ought to tie money to a common anchor like gold, and then she kind of, says maybe we don't even need the Federal Reserve. And so the whole world now freaking out because this lady might get, she's already been nominated from the Donald, and now they're going to debate it in the, quote, Senate today.
So they're, which is a great thing. But, I hope that'd be great that she could get in there. But it seems like anything good they seem to really pound on.
What do you think, Kurt? Imagine Donald Trump nominating this lady named Judy Shelton. She says, I don't even know if we need the Federal Reserve, and maybe we ought to tie it to gold. And then, you know, that's Donald's pick, sir. Or at least one of his two picks right now, Kurt.
Well, I mean, when you look at at least my lifetime, I've never heard that from any,
Well, now, Alan Greenspan was a gold supporter until he became the Fed chairman, and then he dumped his gold supporting. And then after he got out of the chairmanship, he supported gold again. So I don't know how that all works.
Well, I know, but maybe we don't need the Federal Reserve coming from somebody who's picked to go in it. I mean, that's...
Yeah, bring it on. Let's have that discussion, shall we? Anyway, I find that interesting. These senators are going to vet this person today. And if you and I, let's just pretend we were in the Senate, Sam, Kurt, and Ryan for a second. You know, what would your vetting be? My vetting would be, hey, are you really willing to tie gold to our money? And if you are, then you're in. And if you're not, you're out. And are you really willing to get rid of the Federal Reserve entirely? If you are, you're in. If not, you're out. I'd throw some serious litmus tests down, Brian.
Yeah, that's what I'd do. I agree with you. Let's make it happen. I mean, get back to real money.
Ain't they going to cover it like that, Kurt?
Well, I mean, she
Fox
might whip
is just
out her
throw
little,
down, huh?
She might whip out her little pocket constitution and go there to Article 1, Section 10 and go, you know, I was looking in here last night and I found this little phrase. Says, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. So I was thinking, I guess maybe Nancy Pelosi missed this part in her constitutional studies. You know how she's such a constitutional defender. And so she'll want to, eliminate the Fed and just move right back to.
And then
what
Donald
it
could
right
say, all my predecessors in my lifetime have been back in the fake money system, too, and I got to make a change. We got to make America great again and jettison fake money and go back to constitutional currency.
Amen.
It's
getting crazier Shangri-La. By the second. Don't you dig it? All right. By the way, they also say second story here, but interestingly interwoven or closely related, you might say. This is USA Today. Credit card debt is higher than ever. USA Today. Now, do you want me to give you the particulars or do you guys want to make a comment on that first?
Well, I believe it.
Credit card debt at an all-time, higher than ever, they say. Is that an all-time high? Higher than ever? Yeah,
I think that is. And just imagine if, everybody says, well, gosh, our wonderful economy is so debt-based. Everybody's got to do that just to help the economy. And I'm thinking, man, isn't it time to, reverse this 100-year-plus trend of the Federal Reserve and the debt-based system and, man, make America great again.
Amen. They say the country's credit card debt and other types of revolving debt jumped almost 20 1.1%, listen, from a decade ago, reaching an all-time high of $1.1 trillion, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. We've talked about different, you know, corporate debt, all the things that are going on. It's just, yeah, I mean, it's going to continue to grow until they can get a handle on spending and getting back to, like we just talked about, you know, get rid of the
all right, so I got two questions for you guys on this now. So credit card and revolving debt at an all-time high. It's up 20% in the last decade alone. It's $1.1 trillion outstanding. So how much do you think is on the average credit card, and how many credit cards do you think the average American has? Kurt?
Average credit card's got $3,000 on it, and average American's got 5 of them.
Ooh, what do you say, Brian?
I'd say it's 6 cards and, probably 3,000-5,000, yeah.
All right. The average balance on a credit card now is almost $6,000. Actually, $6,200 if you want to get technical. And the typical American holds 4 cards.
Oh, okay.
So when you put your numbers together, you guys were dang close, though. When Kurt says a little bit less, but 5 cards, dollar-wise, he's so close, it's amazing. Now, do you know what the number one reason people are starting to incur balances, ladies and gentlemen? Any idea?
It's easy.
Well, yeah, that would be the number one reason. It's easy. I'd say health care or sick care is what I'd call it.
Okay, so Kurt's right, but he's wrong. Let me explain. They say the number one reason is groceries, which was shocking to the researchers. Because, like, something is Coors groceries. But then when they dug into the data, then Kurt's reality check comes in. Because they say, because of increased healthcare costs and education costs, we have to meet those costs or we melt down. And so we are willing to borrow money on our cards for groceries so that we can pay those hard costs like healthcare and education. So Kurt's right, but I guess it's a case of shifted blame or whatever you want to call it, right? So groceries are the number one reason, but it's driven by the reasons that Kurt points out is what I'm saying.
Yeah, education and sick care.
And healthcare, yeah.
Both government-controlled markets, yeah.
Yes, sir. Groceries aren't controlled or else that'd be the blame, see?
Maybe they ought to give us, if we're getting more cards and trying to spend, maybe they ought to give us food stamps. The more cards we have, maybe we could get some food stamps.
Well, maybe they ought to turn everybody into breatharians. Do you know what a breatharian is, Brian?
Breatharians, yeah, no. That's right. These are the people that they live on just breathing. You don't need to eat and stuff. A little while back, somebody figured that our dog was that way because they checked and they never saw any food or water in its, thing. And they told the cops that they'd been checking for 5 months. And I thought, man, that's an amazing dog to survive for 5 months without food or water.
Now, there's a headline, speaking of the food stamp discussion that you're talking about there, Brian, that I thought would be, kind of worth your discussion. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Headline from IJR, which is the independent journal, says this. 9 U.S. lawmakers who once were on food stamps asked Donald Trump, please don't shrink the program.
Oh.
So groceries are the number one reason.
Yeah, don't shrink it. Eliminate it.
Food stamps. That's right. They didn't say that, though. They want to preserve that baby, Kurt. But anyway, here's some steps they say you could take to get out of credit card debt, Kurt. Now, I would have different steps than they have, so let's talk about that a little bit. They say this, make a budget, and then live within that budget. Imagine statements like that. Could the government do that, you think, Kurt?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the word federal budget, is that a budget?
Well, that's the thing. See, mine and your budget has reality, like we can only spend as much as we have. See, for them, that doesn't apply because of fake money. Do we need the Federal Reserve?
Amen.
Answer? No. Brian Rust, Kurt Crosby, and Sam Bushman back in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
the CDC with a warning concerning coronavirus. The agency says it's expected to take a real foothold in the U.S. The head of the agency's Center for Respiratory Diseases saying that the U.S. will likely soon see the spread of the virus, which has killed more than 1,000 people, mostly in China, sickening tens of thousands more. New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo will be at the White House today for a meeting with President Trump. They're expected to discuss a recent Trump administration decision to prevent Empire State residents from taking part in travel programs that allow folks to quickly pass through airport checkpoints and borders. The administration says New York is also blocking access to motor vehicle records on possible illegal immigrants. Cuomo denies it.
I believe it's about politics.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm doing it all, the water, the fiber, the exercise, but I still have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back. My doctor said I may have a chronic medical condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C.
Linzess, linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats adults with IBS with constipation. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and learn more at Linzess.com. That's Linzess.com. Or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Iowa's Democratic Party chief resigning after last week's caucuses fiasco. Troy Price again apologizing and saying Iowa Democrats deserve better. Fallout continues after the U.S. Justice Department overrules its own prosecutors and agrees to lower the amount of prison time it will seek for President Trump's ally Roger Stone. It followed a tweet from President Trump calling the original 7 to 9 year recommendation excessive. Those attorneys then quit the case. Then Mr. Trump tweeted congratulations to Attorney General William Barr. Here's Wayne State Law Professor Peter Henning.
Attorney General Barr has decided they're going to make a recommendation for a much lighter sentence, not the 7 to 9 years. So that's really just a slap in the face of the prosecutors who actually prosecuted Roger Stone and obtained the convictions. So I guess in a sense, the higher levels in the Department of Justice don't really care.
This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
What about all the FBI agents that lied in the Donald Trump case? What about all the FBI agents that lied in the Ammon Bundy case? Are those folks going to jail for as long as Roger Stone? Let's talk about that, baby. All right, I digress. So we're talking about the massive debt Americans have on credit cards. The average American has 4 credit cards, $6,000, $6,200 on each card. Massive, over $1.1 trillion. It's up 20% in the last decade alone, but they say there are things you can do. Here are steps you can take. You got to have a budget and spend less. Good idea, federal government. Get that done, would you please? They also say you can ask for a lower credit card interest rate. Just call up and ask, and oftentimes you can get it. They say you can open what's called a balance transfer card at 0% interest or a personal loan. They say personal loans oftentimes offer a structured repayment plan. That can be helpful. And then they talk about the snowball versus the avalanche approach. Do you know the difference in those, Brian?
Well, avalanche doesn't sound good.
So these are vague terms, but let me tell you what they are. Okay, the snowball approach is paying down cards with the smallest balances first, and then you take that money that you had from the smallest balance and apply it to the next one and the next one and the next one. And it snowballs because your payments double and triple as you get rid of the smallest debts. Then that money goes towards the bigger debts and it pays it off faster. It doesn't really concern itself with interest rates. It's just the smallest balance, pay it off, then take the money that you were using for that one and put it towards the next one and the next one, and it snowballs. The avalanche effect is this idea that you do the biggest interest rate ones first. And they say that's a great way to get it done. They believe that the avalanche one is better. I disagree. I think the snowball one is the best. And I've studied debt management for years. And I'm just telling you that because the benefit of the snowball approach is you get these little gains along the way. You got 10 debts and you pay off the smallest one. And you feel these wins as you go. Right. And you then basically apply that money to the next one and the next one. And so you're not only do you get wins, but you're applying more money each time. And I think even with high interest rates, it's still a better plan. Now, turning off the card and stopping the interest rate entirely, not just reducing it, is one of the ways to go. But here's my recommendation. Get rid of your credit cards altogether. You don't need them. You say, Sam, I can't live without them. Yeah, you can. You might have to work a little harder. You might have to live a little thinner. But I just find that credit cards rarely do any good. At first, they serve a purpose and make life easy. But yet, 9 times out of 10, they backfire and you regret having them, period. So I would just recommend getting rid of credit cards. If you're in credit card debt, I would freeze the cards, stop the interest entirely, and I would use a snowball approach. That would be mine. Any comments on the, either of those guys?
Well, I think that you've got the right idea. I mean, here's one of the issues. I mean, as an American person, you know, and people here, we're following the example of our leaders. I mean, they, you know, hey, if they can do that, and that's what they're kind of, maybe we should all do that. And I think that's kind of what, you know, if a government can't stop spending, and why should we stop spending?
The credit card companies have also loosened up the rules, and they're allowing people to go into a ton more debt, too, because the credit card companies aren't interested in responsibility. They're interested in what they can glean from it, and, you know, they benefit handsomely financially from these disasters that are in their wake. And I think that's part of the problem as well. Any final comment on that one, Kurt?
Well, I mean, when you say the word avalanche, it does make you think of the federal government's debt. You know, when I love the snowball idea or, you know, getting rid of that interest in those debts. And, you know, our buddy, Dave Ramsey has recommended that for years on the radio. And, you know, you hear those people that do those debt-free screams and that kind of thing, and they're just very excited about it. And wouldn't it be wonderful to get... Well, get all of America
Amen
to do
that.
A debt-free scream, you know.
I agree with that, but, you know, we've got more debt and more debt and more debt, and I don't see it abating anytime soon because people don't have places to turn. Yes, they have jobs, and yes, the economy's better than it was, but you know what? Government expenditures are just going through the roof. They're not holding the line on debt at all or spending at all, and when they don't, then eventually we're forced into this health care, this education, this you know, Social Security, this, you know, Medicare and Medicaid and you know, all these government socialist programs are just, you know, running us aground.
You know, in your story about the new least recommended person for the Federal Reserve who is, I was looking her up and like you said, she has basically questioned whether these guys even need to exist. I mean, that's a glimpse of fresh air or
hope. It's a hope, sure.
Like she said, how can a dozen, slightly less than a dozen, people meeting 8 times a year decide what the cost of capital should be versus some kind of organically market supply determined rate? The Fed is
so
not
so she understands
omniscient.
It like the Founding Fathers do, and the problem is they just want to shut her up, but Donald's giving her a chance, and I hope that, you know, but I'm fearful of these
Good
senators
point.
Vetting her because these are socialist senators.
I agree.
Just Good imagine point. Romney vetting this lady. See, it'd be disaster. All right, I want to get another headline in before Brian has to leave. He has to leave right at the next break. So we've only got a couple of minutes left with him, but I wanted to bounce this story off him, too. We're just rich with stories. We could talk for hours with Brian on some of this stuff. Here's the headline, and I'm just going to say I told you so right off the onset, okay? I told you that cryptocurrencies are no good. They're bogus, and they're horrible, and I'm telling you, if they ever get big enough to matter, government will let them grow, and we'll just politely have the back door and keep an eye on what's going on. If government ever finds it to be a threat or big enough to matter, then government will control it. Remember I told you that, Kurt?
Yeah, I remember that.
All right, very Good clear tip. Instructions.
You said don't dip your toe in the crypto.
That's correct, because I'm telling you, if you dip your toe in the crypto, you're going to be spied on by your government, and if it ever gets big enough, they're going to control you with it. Trust me, they will not let the money go to cryptocurrency where we can literally do what we want with money and the government's locked out of it. They will not let that happen. I'm telling you right now. Anyway, everybody laughed at me and said, Sam, you just don't understand the technology behind it and stuff like that. And I'm okay if they say I don't have a clue on tech. That's okay. You know what I mean? I'm okay if they think they know more about tech.
They're wrong.
It's okay. I don't care. They can think what they want. But here's the latest headline from your government press. Ready? Treasury to introduce rules on cryptocurrencies. Now listen. They say the rules will improve transparency and stop money laundering there, Brian. Do you believe all that, buddy? What it really means is they'll only let government bureaucrats money launder. The rest of us, no. So, right. Okay, listen up. They say this. Dateline Washington, the Trump administration plans to introduce regulations for cryptocurrencies that are intended to crack down on their use in facilitating money laundering. Mr. Nutchin, that's the guy for Donald, said the regulations are being developed with other agencies and financial regulators. The goal to improve transparency surrounding digital currencies such as Bitcoin. The administration, that's Donald Trump and crew, have expressed growing concern over the use of such currencies to, quote, anonymously execute illegal transactions and potentially evade American sanctions via countries such as Iran. We're about to roll out some significant new requirements, Mr. Nutchin said during a hearing before the Senate Finance Committee. We want to make sure that technology moves forward. Now listen, on the other hand, we want to make sure that cryptocurrencies aren't used for the equivalency of old Swiss secret number banking. Mr. Nutchin, of course, did not provide details of what the regulations would entail. He said, don't worry, we'll provide greater transparency so that law enforcement can see where money's going and ensure that it's not being used to aid money laundering. After playing down the risks of cryptocurrencies at the beginning of Trump's term, Mitchell Nutchin now says they pose a national security threat. See, I even told you that's what they'd do. They all basically back into this and go, oh my gosh, it's rising to the point it's a national security threat. You got to go ahead and use secrecy and got to... what do they call it when they make it to where nobody can know about it? Classify it. Classify it to where... He also said that he had very serious concerns about Libra. That's Facebook's digital currency they're developing. And then he says this. President Trump has also expressed skepticism about cryptocurrencies. Donald Trump says their value is based on thin air, Brian. Imagine the president saying that.
Like paper money?
Yes, sir.
It's like that blockchain's now going to go right through the Capitol, huh?
Now, Donald Trump warned at the time that Facebook must seek a, quote, banking charter and follow all banking regulations if they want to be involved in digital currencies. So, see, they're starting to put down the hammer, Brian, exactly as I told you they would.
That's exactly right. That's awesome.
So my response is, don't dip your toe in the crypto, folks. It's all bogus, bro. I'm telling you right now. If you want constitutional currency, double down on gold and silver, baby.
That's right. Tiptoe through the crypto, huh?
Yes, sir.
You get caught.
Because I'm telling you, they're monitoring it right now. They're not cracking down. They're just monitoring everything you do. Yeah. You think that it's all crypto and that they can't break into it, but I'm telling you, it isn't true.
Yeah, that's right.
Even the experts will tell you that it's true and that I don't know enough about tech. But I'm telling you, write it down, and later they'll reveal the truth, and I'll say, that's what I thought. See, just because I'm kind of one of them redneck, high-tech folks. Brian, thank you, sir. Godspeed, brother.
Hey, you bet. We heard it here first, Sam. You told us.
Thank you, sir. All right, there he goes. Brian Rush doing a phenomenal job. He has other engagements, so we'll let him fly, and it's Sam and Kurt the rest of the way. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's gonna do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history, when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
I like it. Kurt Bryan said, tiptoe through the crypto, move right onto the constitutional currency, and I say amen, brother. Donald Trump has expressed skepticism about cryptocurrencies, declaring last year that he was not a fan, and they'll just be thin air. All right, what do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, he's right again, isn't he, Sam?
Yes, sir. He sure is. Do you think that it's going to increase transparency and stop money laundering there, buddy? See, I'm just not seeing that, sir.
Well, you know, it's like when the feds say we're going to have more transparency, I'm thinking, yeah, that's like when Hillary says we're going to have, an honest voting system, you know. I mean, you just count on the opposite of what she says, you know.
Sadly true, yes. You know, sadly, the mainstream press isn't telling you much, you know. They say Donald Trump has also expressed skepticism about cryptocurrencies, and then they talk about last year, declaring last year that he was not a fan, and they were, you know, they just create things out of thin air. They didn't really cover much of that point, right, Kurt? And they don't really cover that in detail. For example, he said at the time that Facebook must seek a banking charter and follow all bank regulations if they're getting into the digital currency business. Do you remember them covering that much either?
Nope. But I know the president had lunch or something with the Facebook boy, Zuckerberg, right? You know,
yeah.
Maybe that's what they were talking about.
Now, Jerome H. Powell chimes in because Nutchin says we probably don't need a cryptocurrency within the next couple of years. But listen, Kurt, Jerome H. Powell, the chair of the Fed, said in a separate Senate hearing that the central bank had been studying what one would look like. In other words, they say, hey, we might develop our own federal government digital currency. He says every major central bank in the world is looking into digital currencies, and we think it's our responsibility to be at the forefront of all that, Kurt.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with all this? No. Just imagine a federal government crypto, baby.
Wouldn't it be nice if they just go, hey, man, you know, we just we realized right here on Capitol Hill that we're minting these coins, and they say $1, you know, fine silver, and we got the 2020 ones rolling off here. We never had been down there where they were making those, and we found out they do it right here, and maybe it looks like we ought to restore this and just go to that, they'd say, you know. I mean, imagine them. They act like they don't even know about it. You know what I mean, Sam?
Yes. I just find the whole thing really weird. Just imagine if the federal government gets into a cryptocurrency, Kurt. Just imagine like a federal cryptocurrency. Right?
Man, that's just, that's, well.
So my headline says, federal cryptocurrency coming? Federal cryptocurrency's coming? Question mark? That's what I think's happening, Kurt. All right. Jack Davis writes an article in the Western Journal that's incredible, Kurt. Nearly 3 years later, FBI director admits surveillance of the Donald Trump team was illegal. Did you see this?
No, but I'm glad to see it simply because, you know, I think almost everybody that checked into that knew that a long time ago, right, Sam?
I don't know. I mean, I knew it for a long time ago, but I don't know how many people really realize this. And this is what I find interesting. Nearly 3 years later, we just hear a blip by the Western Journal and Jack Davis. I mean, good for them. Don't get me wrong. They say the 2016 act of surveillance on a member of President Trump's campaign team was, in fact, illegal, FBI Director Christopher Wray acknowledged. Yeah, Kurt. He acknowledged it last week. Did you know that? Wray appeared before the House Judiciary Committee and was asked about surveillance of former Trump campaign staff member Carter Page. And basically said yes. And we knew it was illegal. The FBI made 17 errors and omissions. And, you know, Republican John Ratcliffe of Texas asked Wray about the details and trapped him on the stand. And basically it came out that this is illegal surveillance with respect to at least several examples, correct? And Wray said yes. Kurt?
Wow.
Okay, but listen. Now all they're talking about is how, oh, man, Donald's asking for Roger Stone's sentence to be reduced. And that's bad of the president. He should let the Justice Department or the prosecutors do what they do best. And there's a big battle over that. But what about this scenario, Kurt? We now caught him at it, right? Christopher Wray, the FBI-like head, is like, hey, man, this is going on. They literally created illegal surveillance against Donald. This was 2016 when it happened or whatever. Now it's 2020. 4 years later, they admit it right in front of Congress. Now, where are the heads going to roll on this one? I mean, if Roger Stone deserves 9 years and they're going to push for that, these guys deserve probably life, Kurt. Because what happens when you are in a position above somebody? See, Roger Stone wasn't over anybody. He just lied, like Bill Clinton lied, right? But these guys literally perpetuated a fraud and used their positions in government to commit the fraud, right? To surveil Donald Trump's team illegally. These people had to use government special privileges that they were given. They had to use their, you know, security clearances. They had to use access to systems and databases and technologies that the rest of us couldn't even dream of. So these people should probably go to prison for life, Kurt. Is anybody even talking about this at all? Or is Jack and over there, Jack Davis in the Western Journal, they just released this and everybody just goes, ho-hum. Hey, Roger Stone's a bad guy. I look at this in comparison, Kurt, and I go, we let Hillary go, now we're letting these guys go. What the heck's going on around here, man? You want to mention anything else on this, Kurt? It's astounding.
Well, I mean, it seems like, Sam, we see, I mean, it's like you say, there's a dual justice system. If Obama, as the president, does these
criminal acts,
spy, yeah, criminal
but they're not
acts,
even alleged, Kurt, like they are against Donald. These are proven and admitted to, sir.
Right,
in sworn testimony, buddy.
That's right, and then you've got, you know, you take that a president. I mean, just imagine if the tables were turned and it was President Trump, who had been the president, and then Barack Obama was trying to be the next president, and they found out that President Trump had been spying on him and stuff like that. Let me ask you, what American would not know about that?
It'd be turned into a racial thing. They'd say they spied on him because he was black, too, even though he's only half black.
Massive. Right. Good point. And yet, it's kind of like the Hillary thing. Like when she and Bill, you know, have been involved in all this nefarious stuff, including basically fixing the market in the whole uranium thing with the Russians. And, you know, there's no, hey, nobody checking on that one bit. But imagine if President Trump's sons or, you know, somebody like that had been, you know, even remotely connected to something like that. I mean, it would just be a massive news story, Sam.
Roger that.
I mean, yeah, roger that.
But it's amazing to me that they're really going after Roger Stone like this, and there's a debate. You know, now, I don't know if President Trump's going to pardon Stone. I don't know if he's going to just push for the sentence to be shorter. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here. But I look at this and I go, how do you push for a long, like a 9-year sentence for Roger Stone? And you literally have rapists and murderers serving less time. And then you have a scenario where the FBI literally lied in not only the Donald Trump Russia case and all that stuff, but then they lied and got caught literally spying on the presidential candidate Trump from the president of the United States on down, sworn testimony. And no one's doing anything. Or Hillary Clinton literally violating classified information on a personal server. No big deal. Can't find the emails. It's all washed under the rug.
Thing I'm wondering though, Sam, is that you know, you say no one's doing anything. I think, you know, that there's a good chance that behind the scenes, without much, I guess you could say, media coverage
or fanfare,
you've got you know, this attorney general and some working with him that are maybe, you know, going to go moving forward. I mean, you've got these. I'm really surprised that there's the, you know, the move by these, what was it? There's four attorneys that said, hey, man, we're out of here because you, you know, you're suggesting that we've, you know, we're too rough on Roger Stone. And I'm thinking, man, there should be so many of those people just out of there, you know.
Well, yes, and I look at how they kicked in Roger Stone's door and made a media fiasco about it. How did CNN get on the scene and cover that? See, no one's even digging into that. So this is what I mean. I maybe somebody's doing something behind the scenes, Kurt, but until I see heads roll, I have to assume nothing's happening.
That's right. And, of course, heads roll in this case means, you know, honesty and, you know, true
accountability.
Sentencing for the, yeah, accountability for the guys. I mean, you got these guys that are running around, you know, that were in the top levels of these, you know, FBI and others that have basically admitted to crimes. And yet,
well, what about Ammon Bundy's case? They literally withheld exculpatory evidence. They literally lied in court and got caught, Kurt.
Yeah,
to the point where the judge threw out the whole case and said Ammon's not guilty. Juries, the only one that's done time is Ammon.
Yep.
For nothing. There's not even any guilt of Ammon. That's why I think Ammon really should be put up for the Peace Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, because this guy, out of all the abuse he's taken, he's not angry or hate-filled. He just prays for everybody and a humble guy. Man, this guy's an advocate for peace for sure. But look, where are the guys that did this to Ammon Bundy? Where's the accountability for them? People should be going to prison, Kurt. Prison.
Great point.
Okay, but I don't see anything happening. Donald's not going to lock up Hillary. There's a big fiasco over Roger Stone. But no one's looking into this where they literally spied on presidential candidates. So here's the question, Kurt. Are they spying on presidential candidates now?
It's a good point.
You don't know for sure, but you have to assume the answer is yes, Kurt. Why would they stop?
And you wonder what part of our government would be doing it, you know. I mean, with so big of government, it's, you know, and so much money going to so many places, you always just wonder what havoc are we paying for now.
Yeah, good point. Did you hear that Sanders, Kurt, I guess beat Pete in New Hampshire and Biden came in fifth? Did you see that?
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Kurt?
I think it's just a mess on the whole Democratic side, but that's why I'm for eliminating the whole party system, and whoever gets chosen finally there is just going to go down to a massive defeat.
By Donald?
That's correct.
All right, quick pause. Hour one in the can, two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.